Our scripture reading will be from Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12, beginning at verse 14. Exodus 12, beginning at verse 14. Just by way, before this is really the Passover, and this chapter has two Passover instructions, and in the middle of which is the instruction for unleavened bread, the story of the 10th plague, and the Exodus itself. And now we deal with verse 14. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses, for whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was on this day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. In the first month you are to eat bread made without yeast, from the beginning of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. For 7 days no yeast is to be found in your houses, and whoever eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel, whether he is an alien or native born. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Dear people of God, called to be saints, amnesia, or forgetfulness, afflicts us so much that we need to keep learning the same lesson repeatedly. That's the way you teach children. Repeat, and they learn. And it seems, well, at least for me, the older I get, the more I forget. And I need reminders. And this is true, particularly spiritually, of all of us. We all make the confession. We cannot save ourselves. Only Jesus can save us by his grace, by his cross. And yet, sometimes as we go through daily life, we tend to forget his grace And we live in our own strength. It's like we suffer from a kind of spiritual amnesia, forgetting that it's only by God's grace that we can do anything good. Jesus said that apart from me, you can do nothing. And you know, when we forget, we fail. That's when the devil is going to be there, and he's going to fill in our minds with all kinds of other things to make sure we keep forgetting. But God, in his mercy, comes back to us through the preaching of the word and various other means. And he reminds us that we can do all things through him who strengthens us. We can do all things by the strength of his grace. Now, we knew that. We simply forgot. And you know, that's why Scripture repeats so often. I like to say that's why preachers repeat so often, but that's not necessarily the case. But you hear it often. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. Nehemiah 4. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Ecclesiastes 12. Remember that I am God and there is no other. Isaiah 46. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. 2 Timothy 2. A few examples. Remember, 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 remember. Or if you want to put that negatively, don't forget. Well, God wanted Israel to remember the Exodus from Egypt. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Deuteronomy 5:15. And later, you find that entire Psalms are written so that God's people would sing and remember how God had delivered them from bondage. Examples are Psalm 78 and Psalm 106. The psalmist wrote, "Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced." Psalm 105, verse 5, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 2, or 12. In order that they would not forget, God gives them a memory aid. The Passover, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, together. Every year they are to have these feasts, or this feast, this festival. Three times God tells Moses in this chapter that he wants the Passover to become a lasting commemoration. Memorial. Verse 14, 17, 24. They celebrated the night of the Exodus. They celebrated in the desert. God told them to celebrate this feast when they entered the promised land, and we read that as soon as they entered the promised land, they celebrated the Passover. Joshua 5. The Passover was a feast for remembering. It was an annual reminder of God's saving grace. The Exodus wasn't repeated. It was symbolically pictured or reenacted. Killing of the Passover lamb, blood on the door frames, bread, bitter herbs. During this feast, they could see and they could taste and they could touch and they could smell the Exodus, as it were. and they could relive this escape from Egypt. And as they did, they preserved this memory of their liberation, of their salvation. As I said, these instructions for the Passover are really given twice, separated by instructions for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was celebrated the week following the Passover meal, but they were so closely connected that in the Old Testament the two feasts are really not two separate festivals or celebrations, holidays, but become one week long celebration. In much of the Old Testament, the festival is called the Passover, but at other times it is simply called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Both terms can be used to refer to the whole package. And the reason for this is because unleavened bread is so closely connected to the Passover. That's what this Exodus 12 is showing us. It's part and parcel of it. The bread they ate, remember, for the Passover was unleavened because they had to leave in haste. And this connection between the two feasts teaches us a crucial truth concerning salvation. We are saved to be sanctified. We are saved to be sanctified. See, the Passover, it's really all about salvation. It teaches that we are saved from death by the shedding of the blood of a substitute given as a sacrifice for our sins. The Feast of Unleavened Bread speaks of what God desires now that we have been saved. That is, to live a holy life, becoming more and more what we have been saved to be, holy and righteous. So first you have the Passover that reminded God's people of their redemption from Egypt. And they ate those bitter herbs, the unleavened bread, the slaughtered lamb, and dipped hyssop in the blood and painted the blood on their door frames. Every home had its lamb. And the fathers were to explain to their children, so the children would learn and remember, this is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. God wanted them to remember what he had done for them. And it was in this remembrance that they had their identity. They were not just Israelites. They were God's people. You see, it's not to be simply a national redemption. The Passover was symbolical. The lamb was called a sacrifice because it was an offering for sin. Passover really wasn't simply about deliverance from Egypt. It was a picture of salvation from sin, from Egypt. God would have destroyed the firstborn of Israel too, but the lamb's blood on the doorposts in Israel's home showed that the sacrifice had been paid for sin. And Israel was reminded of this every year. And in this way, God painted this picture and was preparing them for the coming of the one sacrifice, the coming of the Messiah, the Christ, in whom God would form a new Israel, redeeming them from their sin through the blood of Christ, the Passover Lamb. Jesus, our substitute, the perfect Lamb, offered in our place, pays the price for our sin, covered by the blood of Christ on the cross. And in this, brothers and sisters, we have our identity. We are the new Israel, the church of God, the holy nation of the Lord. And oh boy, do we need to be reminded of this over and over and over again. Because we, as we get into this world of individualism, we're prone to forget. There's so many distractions. We can get out there in our day-to-day lives and we can forget that God sent His Son to be our Savior, that Christ shed His blood to cover us from death, and that He has shaped us and He has formed us into a new Israel. He has united us as a people of God. He has brought us together out of darkness into His marvelous light, and we are to be light unto the Lord, witnesses to the ends of the earth. Oh man, that is so easy to forget. And that's why God wants us to assemble every Sunday to hear the preaching of the Word. And that's also why He wants us to celebrate the Lord's Supper, which we will do, the Lord willing, next week. You see, it's a communion in His blood, but it's a celebration of the people of God. It's a celebration of what unites us as a church. We are a new nation in this world. Jesus gave this gospel feast of the Lord's Supper when He celebrated the Passover with His disciples for the last time. It was actually the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Matthew 26 tells us. Jesus did not just celebrate the Passover, He inaugurated a new sacrament entirely. He took the bread and He broke it and He gives it to His disciples and He says, here, see this? This is My body. And He gives them the cup and He says, this is My blood of the covenant. And He's using pictures, of course. But He's actually in this pointing to Himself as the Lamb that was sacrificed to take away their sins. And you know, this is something we remember every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Passover was the old covenant. It looked back to the covenant and it was all pictures and so on. The Lord's Supper is a new covenant. And it looks to the cross. And we do it because Christ commissioned it to make sure that we remember that we are sinners saved by the blood of Christ and united together as His people. That's not all God calls us to. And we are taught this because the Passover is followed by that Feast of Unleavened Bread, which lasted for an entire week. The regulations for this are quite specific. 7 days of bread without yeast. Sweep your houses clean, no yeast in your houses. And if you eat anything with yeast, you are cut off from the people of God. Whoa, that's tough. The feast starts and ends with a sacred assembly. No work but to prepare food. It's very strict. You say, why? What's the significance of it all? And of course, you know that unleavened bread was a reminder of Israel's hasty departure, or would be, from Egypt. By getting rid of yeast, it also had a spiritual significance. It's not specifically stated in Exodus 12. We learned that through scriptures and also through other writings. Jewish teachers have always understood yeast represents the corrupting power of sin. Unleavened bread symbolizes holiness. Pure whole wheat untouched by yeast. That's what they do. And it reminded the people of Israel that they were to keep themselves pure from sin, pure especially from the evils of Egypt. And you know that yeast is a good symbol for sin because of the way it grows and the way it spreads. As it ferments, it works its way through the dough. You have to remember the way it was made back then. They didn't have yeast packets the way you can get them today, or containers. Tubes or whoever it comes, eh? They would usually use some of the old dough. Something like that friendship bread that went around here a while back. I don't know if it still is, but it did a while back. Many of us have made it, and more of us have eaten it. The yeast gradually makes its way through the bread. And sin works precisely the same way, which is why the Bible makes the comparison, as we will see. Sin is always trying to influence your entire life. And that's what God doesn't want. He wants purity. He was saving them. And so before they left Egypt, he wants them to make a clean sweep, so to speak. The last thing he wanted them to do was take a lump of dough from Egypt that would eventually fill them with all the leaven of idolatry. He wanted them to leave behind all of Egypt's worship and their sin. And that unleavened bread symbolized that discontinuity to show them they were making a fresh start. God also marks this as the beginning of a new year for Israel. It's the first month of the year. God, you see, wanted more than to get his people out of Egypt. He also wants to get Egypt out of his people. He's saving them for holy worship. And if anything, Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy teach us it's this. God's desire is to sanctify his people, to make them a holy nation. And he's saying, you must not only flee the world, you must get the world out of you. Paul writes to the Corinthians, don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Therefore let us keep the festival, or the feast, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth. 1 Corinthians 5:6-8. And Paul here is saying precisely what we have been saying. Today, we are to keep the festival. You mean go back and have the Feast of Unleavened Bread? No. Not literally. That's Old Covenant. That's a picture. He must keep the festival by getting rid of sin, of hatred, of wickedness, and replacing it with sincerity, truth, with sinlessness. Yeast represents the old life, hatred and anger and deceit. And he's saying, the festival. You get rid of those old things. Get rid of the old nature. Put it to death. Make a clean sweep of your life. And Jesus says the same thing when he says in Luke 12, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Sounds similar to deceit, doesn't it? God wants us to remember that we are to live holy lives. Pure, true. 2 Timothy 1. For his glory. And that we are to do this together as his people. That's what an instruction basically to God's people to together keep it as a festival. The fellowship we have as a church then will indicate how we have gotten rid of the old yeast, or the yeast of the old life, as we put on the new life of Christ. We're to sweep away sin before it has a chance to grow. And even small sin is dangerous. Sin's like yeast, it wants to spread. That's why God doesn't want any sin. If you think some sins may be tolerated, then you misunderstood the purpose of salvation and the meaning of the keeping of the festival. And every one of us, of course, needs to apply this personally and then as a family and then together as a church. But first of all, personally. And you can ask yourself, is there a sin that you have decided you can live with? Perhaps you're nursing a private grudge or hatred, or on the other hand, maybe a private lust. Is there something perhaps that you think it's okay to covet, set your heart's desire on, even though God has said we may not? Or perhaps even to take something that really isn't your right to have? You think perhaps that worry and impatience are not really sins, just bad habits? Is there some area in your personal life, first of all, where you have decided that it's okay to be undisciplined? And of course, we can expand that. Is there some way in which the worship or the fellowship, the order and the government of the church of Christ, you simply decide, no, I'm going to do it my own way. That way that is in the Bible is outdated. You've decided to tolerate sin. And maybe you think that some of these things are only a little matter. Perhaps you say, from time to time, I'm going to do something about that particular problem when I see it getting out of control of my life. If that's what you think, then you are in great spiritual danger. Because sin is like yeast. Once it gets in your life, it keeps growing and spreading until it corrupts everything. It gets its tentacles, as it And before that, God wants straightforward instruction about it. Get rid of it. Keep the festival. Exodus 12 reminds us then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. This response reminds us of the entire theme of the book of Exodus. God's purpose in bringing Israel out of Egypt was to save a people for his glory, a people who would be holy to him and his praise. And here you see that finally the people were getting the message. The last we heard of them in Exodus 5 was that they were so discouraged that they had given up hope of liberation. But now, even before their redemption, they're beginning to bow down again in worship, and they obey all the instructions. They had the promise. But you notice the way that promise is worded? When God words that promise, he speaks of the promise as already having been fulfilled. He says, celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. God knew, of course, he had the power to save Israel. Israel was good as saved already. You see, and Israel was simply to act on God's promise. That's what faith is. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They worshipped God and went forth to obey him. And that's how we are to react when we are reminded of what we may have forgotten, the spiritual truth in our life. We forget the sinfulness of sin, and we forget the grace of God in our lives in Christ. We forget God wants us to stop sinning entirely. And then when reminded, the thing we need to remember is that, yes, I am a sinner and I do need salvation. And I do need to remember is that God has provided a most glorious salvation in Jesus Christ, complete. And when we remember all of these things, we must respond in worship. And then we have to get back up on our feet and remember what we are to do. Keep the festival. Make a clean sweep. Go through your life now and get rid of all the yeast. Be holy and give God the glory. Next week, the Lord willing, we will have the Lord's Supper together. And as we prepare ourselves, we must remember these things. Brothers and sisters, we have been saved for the grand purpose of giving God the glory. And we have been saved to this, not just as little individuals in the world here and there, but as the people of God. He has united us as a nation of priests, a holy nation to the Lord, that we as a nation might go forth with his outstretched arm into the world, the power of his word. And therefore, this week, keep the festival and make a clean sweep. You say, man, preacher, you know how impossible that is? sin is so invasive. Believe me, I know. And yet, God has saved us in Christ from the dominion of sin and Satan. He has set us free from his control. And don't underestimate this fact. Not only has he liberated us, he has given us his Holy Spirit to fill us and to equip us, to direct us through his word and to lead us into all truth. He's given us his word. He's given us the gift of prayer by which he says, ask and it will be given. And he's given us each other to help and to encourage one another. And maybe at times to admonish lovingly. We must not make excuses, but actually do what God does equip us to do. We fail. But that's our fault, not God's fault. This is why God has his word preached and us reminded so often of our sin, and at the same time remind us that in Jesus Christ a clean sweep has been made. We have to make it. But in Christ it has been accomplished. In Christ we are declared as if we had never sinned nor been a sinner. That is our position in this world before God. Now, he says, live in that liberty, that light, that joy, that freedom. Live by making a clean sweep. Go forth to be precisely what God has redeemed you to be. And if any of you lack assurance that your sins are really washed away in the blood of the Lamb, I'd say speak to an elder, to me. But you must begin with the Passover. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb, takes away the sins of the world? That his people from all over the world who believe in him. That is something you must trust. That's where you start. And then in the light of that truth, you must keep the festival, removing all sinfulness and joining with the people of God to be a holy nation to his praise. Amen.